This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa usalli wa usallimu salatan wa tasliman yaliqani bi maqami amiril anbiya'i wa imamil mursaleen. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ولي الصالحين وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وعظيمنا وحبيبنا محمدًا رسول الله خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين صل اللهم وسلم وبارك على هذا النبي الأمين وعلى آله وصحابته الغر الميامين أما بعد رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي جماعة المسلمين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه العزيز بعد اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وقالوا اتخذ الرحمن ولدا لقد جئتم شيئا إدا تكاد السماوات يتفطرن منه وتنشق الأرض وتخر الجبال هدا أن دعوا للرحمن ولدا وما ينبغي للرحمن أن يتخذ ولدا إن كل من في السماوات والأرض إلا آتي الرحمن عبدا لقد أحصاهم وعدهم عدا وكلهم آتيه يوم القيامة فردا صدق الله العظيم جماعة المسلمين سورة مريم عليها الصلاة والسلام from verse number 88 to verse number 95 88 to 95 شكرا الله سبحانه وتعالى begins verse number 88 and they say وقالوا اتخذ الرحمن ولدا that the most merciful has taken for himself a son Hasha. Hasha. We seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from such a word of falsehood. لَقَدْ جِئْتُمْ شَيْئًا إِدَّا إِدَّا It's like the lowest possible thing you could say or do. In other words, in fact Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here, You have done an atrocious thing. By them saying that, by them saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken a son, what have they done? They've done an atrocious thing. Can't go lower than that. So atrocious is this thing to say that Allah has taken a son for himself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse number 90, تَكَادُ السَّمَاوَاتُ يَتَفَطَّرْنَ مِنْ That this word that the most merciful has taken a son, the heavens have almost ruptured therefrom. The heavens, not just Sama' al-Dunya, because the Sama' al-Dunya is the heaven of this earth, and that includes the known and the unknown universe. This heaven, the heaven of this earth, the known and the unknown universe, the known universe which is how many? I think 94 billion light years across. And light travels at 299,000 kilometers per second. Allahu Akbar. And we say 94 billion light years across. That's the known universe. And the ulama ul falak. The astronomers, the cosmologists, they say that the known universe is but a speck in comparison to the unknown universe. So that heaven ruptures as well as all the other six heavens above it. Or almost. Almost. Takadu samawatu. At this word of saying that the Most Merciful has taken a son, it almost destroys, tears apart, ruptures as-samawat wal-ard, all the heavens and the earth. Such an atrocious word it is. وَتَخِرُّ الْجِبَالُ هَدَّ. And the mountains almost collapse in devastation. Something which will happen on the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah. وَتَبُسُّ الْجِبَالُ بَسَّ. كَلَّا إِذَا دُكَّتِ الْأَرْضُ دَكَّ وَبُسَّتِ الْجِبَالُ بَسَّ. It will happen on the day of Qiyamah. The mountains will be pulverized, will be turned into dust. Now this word almost ruptures the heavens and the earth and collapses the mountains in devastation. Why? And دَعَوْا لِلرَّحْمَانِ وَلَدَا. Because they've attributed to the Most Merciful a son. They've attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even worse than that. And in the Revised Standard Version of the Bible at the beginning of the 20th century, they took out that verse. They said it was an interpolation. It was a fabrication. That God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Ma'ad Allah. Ma'ad Allah. Look up this word, beget. This is a word that is used to denote the lower animal functions of sex. Hasha lillah. Khaliku kullu shay. Khaliku kulli shay. The creator of everything. And how does He create? إِنَّمَا قَوْلُنَا لِشَيْءٍ إِذَا أَرَدْنَاهُ أَن نَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. Without any exception, our word to something, when you want it to happen, is to say to it, be. And it is, كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Especially when it comes to Isa ibn Maryam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ مَثَلَ عِيسَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ كَمَثَلِ آدَمْ خَلَقَهُ مِنْ تُرَابْ ثُمَّ قَالَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. That the likeness of Jesus by God, the likeness of Isa ibn Maryam by Allah, is the likeness of Adam. He created him from dust. And then He said to him, be, and he was. And even if you take the word son in the metaphorical sense, then, as Ahmad Didat always used to say, then God has sons by the tons in the Bible. I'm speaking about in terms of their terminology that they have in their scriptures. That David, Nabiullah Dawood, is referred to as the son of God. Ephraim is referred to as God's firstborn. But yet they don't worship David, nor do they worship Ephraim. But even to say that, alhamdulillah, in Islam, we have no such thing. We are the servants of Allah. وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَانِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنًا وَإِذَا خَاتَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. We are the servants of the Most Merciful, not the sons or the daughters. We are the servants. May Allah make us of His true servants, the true believers. يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنًا. That walk humbly on this earth. And when the ignorant ones address us, we say back to them, peace. أَنْ دَعُوا لِلرَّحْمَانِ وَلَدًا. They attribute to the Most Merciful a son. وَمَا يَنْبَغِي لِلرَّحْمَانِ أَنْ يَتَّخِذَ وَلَدًا. It's not appropriate for the Most Merciful that He should take a son. إِن كُلُّ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِلَّا آتِ الرَّحْمَانِ عَبْدًا. There is no one in the heavens and earth but He comes to the Most Merciful as a servant. وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ. Oh Allah, make us of your true servants, Ya Rab. لَقَدْ أَحْصَاهُمْ وَعَدَّهُمْ عَدَّا. He has enumerated them and counted them a full counting. All the servants. Allah knows about each and every single one of us. Even that which hides in our hearts. وَأَسِرُّوا قَوْلَكُمْ أَوِجَهَرُوا بِهِ إِنَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ الصُّدُورِ. Whether you say something in secret, or you say it loudly in the open, Allah knows that which hides in the hearts of mankind. وَكُلُّهُمْ آتِيهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَرْدًا. And all of them will come to him on the day of resurrection alone. Alone. يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ يَوْمَئِذٍ شَأْنٌ يُغْنِيهِ. On that day, everyone will run away from his brother, from his mother and his father, from his wife and his children. On that day, everybody will only be concerned with themselves. Nafsi, nafsi. So let us be very careful what we say, Jamaat al-Muslimin. We are going to be taken to task on the day of Qiyamah. Everything is being recorded. إِذْ يَتَلَقَّ الْمُتَلَقِّيَانِ عَنِ الْيَمِينِ وَعَنِ الشِّمَالِ قَعِيدٍ مَا يَلْفِذُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. When the two receivers, don't worry about the CIA or Mossad or Pegasus or Uncle Sam or the listening devices, and they say this Pegasus, this new software, it's not so new anymore, but they say you don't even need to click anything. They just need your number. And they can access everything on your phone. They can listen to your conversations. They can make use of your camera. This Zionist weapon that they've developed, Pegasus. Wallahi, this is nothing in comparison to the surveillance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing. And Allah is the one that has given them the respite and the knowledge and the means to make these things. And He is only giving them respite. Why? That they might increase in their sin. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ. And for them is a humiliating torment in the end. So don't worry about anyone or anything that might be surveilling or listening except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His instruments of surveilling and recording. إِذْ يَتَلَقَّ الْمُتَلَقِّيَانِ. The two receivers. And Allah doesn't need these receivers. It's just a sabab. Just like Malik al-Maut is a sabab. And the rusul that Malik al-Maut sends out to bring the souls, it's just a sabab. Our main focus is the musabbib, the causer of all causes. إِذْ يَتَلَقَّ الْمُتَلَقِّيَانِ. When the two receivers receive, عَنِ الْيَمِينِ on the right, وَعَنِ الشِّمَالِ on the left, قَعِيد, sitting, doing what? مَا يَلْفِذُ مِنْ قَوْلِ. Not a single utterance is made. Not a single utterance is made. إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. Obviously, repetition is not in the Quran, but why I say it twice, because don't think that the one angel is Raqibun, the other one is Atid. No, both of them are Raqibun Atidun, Raqibun Atidun. Surveilling, recording. So we must be very careful, Jamaat al-Muslimin. مَنْ يَدْمَنُ لِي مَا بَيْنَ شَفَتَيْ وَفَخِذَيْ أَدْمَنْ لَهُ الْجَنَّةِ. Oh, كَمَا قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Whoever can guarantee to me that they will protect that which is in between their two lips, meaning their tongues, and that which is in between their two loins, meaning their private parts, whoever can guarantee to me that they will protect those two things, I guarantee that they'll go to Jannah. What did the old man say? Die tong het nie been nie. Hy klap soos hy wil. Now, that's why we must be extra cautious, extra careful. أكثر ما يدخل المرء النار لسانه. The thing that will enter a person mostly into the fire Jahannam are their tongues. Are their tongues. And that brings me to the issue of today. I know we've been, it's more than 80 days now, I think. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Every day our hearts break into 1,000 pieces. But what can we say? But hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ الْعَلِيِّ الْعَظِيمِ إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. And we continue to make dua that Ya Allah, bring an end to this slaughter, to this massacre, to this genocide of our brothers and sisters in Gaza, and cause us to witness the defeat of our enemies in our lifetime. Ameen Ya Rabbal Alameen. But this issue I have to address today. Why? Because it is now يعني أصبحت هذه الكلمة متداولة. This word or this issue has now started circulating against. And not just amongst the awam, not just amongst the ordinary lay people like you and I, but amongst the ulama, amongst the muftun, those that give fatwa, our learned scholars. And we always maintain the highest respect for our learned scholars, even if we differ with them. Al-Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala, he used to say, قَوْلِي سَوَابٌ يَحْتَمِلُ الْخَطَأ وَقَوْلُ غَيْرِي خَطَأٌ يَحْتَمِلُ السَّوَابٌ. Al-Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, what I am saying is correct, but it could be wrong. And what the other one is saying is incorrect, but it could be right. SubhanAllah, that is a true alim. Humility. Knowledge must always make us humble. No matter how much a person knows. وَفَوْكَ كُلِّ ذِي عِلْمٍ عَلِيمٍ. And above everyone that knows something is the all-knowing that knows everything. As it always keep us level midi grevel so plaatsen so manora blijt. So I picked this up, that this whole mas'ala of, is it permissible to say Merry Christmas? And although I'm aware that they are, especially in the last century and up till today, there are some contemporary scholars and some of the mutaakhirin. When we say mutaakhirin, mutaqaddimin, then we are speaking about the ulama of a particular madhab. None of the four imams spoke about the permissibility of wishing Christians on the day of Christmas, or even any of the kuffar, fi ayadihim, wishing them for those festivities, for those religious festivities. Let me get one thing out of the way. There's nothing wrong if your neighbor, for example, their son or their daughter gets married. Congratulations on the marriage of your son or your daughter. They graduate from university. Congratulations on the graduation of your son and your daughter from university. Or even if somebody has a birthday. You know, many of us have non-Muslim family. If somebody has a birthday, yes, we can debate about the mashru'iyat or the permissibility of celebrating one's birthday and how it is celebrated. That is a technical issue. But a birthday in its essence, I mean, even the Prophet ﷺ, he fasted on a Monday. And they asked him why. He said, ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمَ الَّذِي وُلِدْتُ فِي. He said, this is the day on which I was born. And it is the day in which my deeds are revealed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I love to be fasting while my deeds are being revealed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it has some significance. So I'm not going to go into the mas'ala. The issue is not about celebrating or not celebrating birthdays. But birthday in its essence, the day on which we are born, to say happy birthday to somebody is not impermissible. There's nothing wrong with that. But to say happy Christmas or happy Diwali or happy anything that involves shirk, a shirku billah. Now here we have to draw the line. Now although, again, with respect to those scholars in looking at the maqasid of the sharia or their interpretation thereof, the maqasid meaning the goals of the sharia, that we should have good relations, good ties with, and I'm speaking about Christmas specifically today. Merry Christmas specifically. I mean, come on. Happy Diwali. A'udhu billah. A'udhu billah. The festivity of lights in which the goddess Lakshmi, the goddess of prosperity, is celebrated. Ma'adallah. Ma'adallah. We see grief. You know, even to say namaste is a problem. You know why? Because namaste means I bow to you. Because they believe, Hindus believe, that a part of the divine, and that goes into what they call 33 crore, which is 33 million gods they believe in, that a part of the divine resides within each human being. So when you greet them and you say namaste, you are bowing to that part of the divinity within them. So do you think it would be permissible to say namaste? La wallah. Abadan. Abadan. You know, the beauty of our deen is al-ikhlas, purity. Qul huwa Allahu ahad, Allahu samad, lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. The chapter of purity, perfect monotheism. Allah ilaha illallah, that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say He is Allah, the one and only, the eternal, the absolute. He beget not, nor is He begotten. And there is none that can be likened unto Him. This is the foundation on which our entire deen is built. And it is based on this, that our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran to disassociate himself from the mushrikeen and from their actions, from their beliefs and from their actions, to disassociate himself and to manifest that disassociation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-An'am, verse number 19, قُلْ أَيُّ شَيْءٍ أَكْبَرُ شَهَادَةً قُلِ اللَّهُ شَهِيدٌ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكُمْ وَأُوحِيَ إِلَيَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنُ لِأُنذِرَكُمْ بِهِ وَمَنْ بَلَغْ أَإِنَّكُمْ لَتَشْهَدُونَ أَنَّ مَعَ اللَّهِ آلِيَةً أُخْرَى قُلْ لَا أَشْهَدْ قُلْ إِنَّمَا هُوَ إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ وَإِنَّنِي بَرِيءٌ مِمَّا تُشْرِكُونَ. Say, what thing is the greatest in testimony? Say Allah. Is witness between me and you. And this Quran was revealed to me that I may warn you thereby and whomever it reaches. Do you truly testify that with Allah there are other deities? Say, I will not testify with you. Say, indeed, He is but one God, and indeed I am free of what you associate with Him. This is exactly the same thing that our patriarch, our father, the one whom this tawheed is named after, this belief system. What is it called in the Quran? 8 times. 4 plus 4. I've got only one hand. 3. 4 plus 4. 8 times in the Quran. What is it called? Millatu Ibrahim Hanifa. Now the word milla and deen, kalimatani muttahidatani fi dhat. 2 words that have the same meaning in essence. وَهُوَ مَا يَعْتَقِدُهُ الْإِنسَانِ. And that is which a person believes. And why is it called, why is Tawheed, the deen of Tawheed, the religion of perfect monotheism, why is it called Millatu Ibrahim? Because Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he is the first messenger to bring perfect monotheism with any lasting effect. Remember, after Nabi Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, the people went back to idolatry. But from the time of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, right up till today, including our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we are all on that same tawheed without any break in the chain of narration. Yes, Adam and Sheth and Idris and Nuh, they were also on exactly the same tawheed, but there's been a break in the chain of narration of that tawheed. So Nabi Ibrahim is the first messenger to bring perfect monotheism without any, with lasting effect, without any break. Alayhi salatu wasalam. And he, alayhi salatu wasalam, he said exactly the same thing to his people, including his own father. Including his own father. فَلَمَّا رَأَ الشَّمْسَ بَازِغَةً قَالَ هَذَا رَبِّي هَذَا أَكْبَرُ فَلَمَّا أَفْلَتْ قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ إِنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِّمَّا تُشْرِكُونَ. And when he saw the sun rising, he said, this is my Lord, this is greater. But when it set, he said, O my people, indeed, I am free from what you associate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when they went for the Eid, did he go with them? He actually said, Inni saqim, I'm sick. Now the ulama have, you know, they debate about, did he lie? Or was he saying, I'm actually sickened by the thought of what you are going to go and do in your festivities. Instead, he stayed behind, and alhamdulillah, he did something very positive and great, and he broke all the idols and blamed the biggest idol. Jamaatul Muslimin, I spent the first 18 years of my life celebrating Christmas, before I embraced Islam, of course. And it's not something that I look back, obviously, with any pride or joy. Al-Islam yajubbu ma qabla. Islam does away with that which came before it. But in terms of Christmas, then, in my days of jahiliyyah, the days of ignorance, I was a true believer. In fact, I was devastated. I came home. I was at Sweet Valley Primary School, there in Bergfleet. And I was 9 years old when I came home. And I said to my mother, I said, you know, Mom, I met this really crazy person at school today. He told me there's no such thing as Father Christmas. So she looked at me and said, you want to know the truth? I thought, uh-oh. I was devastated. And anyway, so I grew up in a typical, not really much of a practicing Christmas or Christian family, more of a Christmas family. You know, more of a family that practiced Christianity only based on the so-called holy days, Christmas and Easter and what have you. And of course, because of that, I have first-hand experience of what Christmas entails. Besides the point of belief, even from a point of culture, I mean, does anybody know what the Christmas tree symbolizes? Go look it up. Anybody heard of mistletoe? And what happens when you meet a strange female under the mistletoe? Go read about it. Anybody heard about brandy pudding with 5-cent coins stuck into it? A Christmas pudding, they throw brandy over it and they set it alight to warm it up. Allahu Akbar. Allahumma ajidna min an-nar. And it's a merry occasion. The wines of Babylon are flowing on Christmas Day. Yes, you do get Christians that do not consume alcohol. We accept that. But the overwhelming majority, wine and gammon and so many other things, I don't know if there's any salmon, but I know there's gammon, is all part of the Christmas celebration. So when you say, and alhamdulillah, I've been Muslim now for plus minus 33 years, all praise and thanks due solely to Allah. Alhamdulillah ala ni'mat al-Islam. Alhamdulillah. For those 33 years, never once to my own mother, who I have the best relationship with. I've never had an argument with my mother. Alhamdulillah. All praise and thanks due solely to Allah. But I've never ever wished her Merry Christmas because I know what Christmas entails. Let me share with you some of the hymns that are sung over Christmas. Come on. Let's have a look. Okay, first one. We have shepherds quake at the sight, glory stream from heaven afar, heavenly hosts sing hallelujah, Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior. This is Silent Night. Silent Night, Holy Night. The main verse or the main chorus here is Christ the Savior is born. Believing that, their sins are forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ. Wal'iyadu billah. We seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from such a falsehood. Another one. We look at away in a manger, no crib for his bed, the little Lord Jesus. Saying that Jesus, who are Rabb? لَقَدَ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهُ وَالْمَسِيحَ بْنُ مَرْيَمُ. Indeed, they have disbelieved those that say that Jesus, the son of Mary, that he is God. Little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. Let's go to the next one. Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn king. Christ by highest heaven adored. Christ the everlasting Lord. Ma'ad Allah. We seek refuge in Allah. Christ the everlasting Lord. La ilaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Late in time, behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Veiled in flesh? What are they saying? Christmas is about the birth of Jesus, but who's being born? God in flesh. God incarnate. I seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from even having to repeat these words. Even having to utter these words, I seek refuge in Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From what they entail and from what they mean. Let's have a look at another one. Born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth. Born to give them second birth. Hark the herald angels sing. There was another one here, but I cannot find it. But Milian Bishirk, full of association of partners in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَقَدَ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ ثَالِثُ الثَّلَاثِ. They have disbelieved those that say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is three in one. Here it is here. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found. And he repeats that thrice. He rules the word with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love. The curse is found. Who is this? This is Paul. Paul says that the law is a curse, because it's written of old, that he who does not abide by the law is accursed. Paul is totally taking the Old Testament and he's taking it out of context and twisting it. Because we know that a curse, a la'na, is basically the withholding of blessings. So what it means in the Old Testament, that he who doesn't abide by the law is accursed, it means that he who does not obey God Almighty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, obey his statutes and commands, then that person, the blessings of Allah will be withheld from them. So you know what he says then? Paul then says, so Jesus became a curse for us. Because it's written of old, he who hangs on the tree is accursed. So in other words, a curse for a curse, everything's cancelled out and everybody's sins are forgiven. And that brings us to the big problem. If he died as a man, one man cannot carry the sins of the world. Of course, we believe he didn't die. وَمَا قَتَلُوا وَمَا صَلَبُوا وَلَكِنْ شُبِّهَ لَهُمْ. They killed him not, nor did they crucify him, but it was made to appear so. And if he died as a God, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Can God die? الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم. لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. Neither slumber nor sleep overtakes him. What about death? Hasha. We seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in that one hymn I mentioned to you about the Godhead. What is the Godhead? It refers to the essence or substance of God in Christianity, which is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So whether it is from a perspective of belief, which of course I know when a Muslim says Merry Christmas, they're just trying to maintain good relations. But there's many other ways of maintaining good relations. But wishing a person happiness over something which almost ruptures the heavens and the earth and collapses the mountains in utter devastation. Something which we have absolutely no evidence for in the Quran or in the Sunnah or the four great Imams. Only some ijtihad that came much later. And some of them are using the verse in the Quran as a proof where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا يَنْهَاكُمُ اللَّهُ عَنِ الَّذِينَ لَمْ يُقَاتِلُكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ وَلَمْ يُخْرِجُوكُمْ مِنْ دِيَارِكُمْ وَلَمْ يُخْرِجُوكُمْ مِنْ دِيَارِكُمْ أَنْ تَبَرُّوهُمْ وَتُقْسِتُوا إِلَيْهِمْ. Allah doesn't prohibit you concerning those who don't fight you in your religion and don't drive you out of your homes to act kindly and justly towards them. This is not kindness and justice to wish somebody merry over something which is an association of partners in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and which many people on that occasion spend it in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we have a simple solution. دَعْ مَا يُرِيبُكْ إِلَّا مَا لَا يُرِيبُكْ. Leave that which you doubt for that which you don't doubt. So rather say compliments of the season. Have a nice holiday. But not Merry Christmas. Not Happy Christmas. You know, that's my 5 cents. That's my all up. That's my all up and my stay. And I'm throwing into the hat. And this is the opinion, if you look at from the time of our beloved Prophet Muhammad, the Sahaba, the Tabi'een, the Tabi Tabi'een, Immatuna, Salaf al Salih, our pious predecessors of the Fuqaha, was Salihin. Then majority, and that is why Ibn al-Qayyim says there's ittifaq. Even though there is difference amongst the much later scholars, Ibn al-Qayyim says there's ittifaq on the impermissibility of wishing anybody on a religious festivity that has anything to do with shirk, with association of partners in the worship of Allah, or anything to do with disobeying the boundaries and the commands of Allah. I hope that makes sense. وآخر دعوانا عن الحمد لله رب العالمين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.